Blog Talk Radio.
Weekly broadcast of the Eastern Airlines Radio Show. We're coming to you from our cyber satellite radio station serving over 40 countries around the world. My name is Jim Hart, and along with Margaret Bars, Bill Joseph, Steve Thompson, Dan Buskai, Chuck Albright, and Neil Holland, we host the radio show each Monday evening. Let's check with our host from various locations around the United States. Hey, Neil, Margaret, how are you guys doing down there in Punta Verde?
Well, Jim, here on Florida's beautiful First Coast, we won't complain about today's weather, even though it's been a cloudy day with lots of misty rain. Nonetheless, both locals and tourists still walked on the beaches, gathered seashells, and believe it or not, played golf in the rain. And you know, Neil, I think we have some bragging rights here in the Jacksonville area concerning golf. And so for all you golfers out there, did you know that Ponte Vedra Beach is synonymous with golf? We have that great PGA Tour and the Players' Championship.
Absolutely. Not only that, we have the World Golf Village, the home of golf's Hall of Fame, where all the notable golfers all the way back to Ben Hogan and earlier, Bobby Jones, all of these famous golfers you can see. And we had Chuck that visited. Perhaps we can get Chuck to give us a report a little bit later on about that Golf Hall of Fame. It's incredible. There are so many things that Jacksonville and St. Augustine offers, of course. Jim?
Thank you, Neil. You know, a great many of our listeners don't know that St. Augustine is the oldest city or town in the whole United States, and I enjoy being there and have been there many times. Listen, going on down the coast to Delray Beach, Florida, we have John Buskai. Hey, Jan, you have anything maybe the Chamber of Commerce would want to say about Delray Beach?
We always do, Jim, and thanks for asking. Delray Beach is the village known as the Village by the Sea. Of course, last week I discussed and mentioned the tree lighting. It's a 100-foot Christmas tree. And the best time to view that tree is in the evening when the sun goes down. You actually have the best view within the tree. In addition to that, there's a holiday carousel for youngsters, and that's opened now and will be open through January 1st.
Thanks for asking, Jan. Oh, thank you You're welcome. Listen, let's go. How about Chuck? Chuck Albright is over in the central part of the state of Florida, where you've got about 100,000 seniors just itching to get in their golf carts and get ready to go. Hey, how's everything in the villages, Chuck?
We're doing just fine today. We're running around 72 degrees. And you're right. Well, we haven't reached 100,000, but we're at 85. But we are the largest group of people with the most golf carts. We have 35,000 golf carts here. And we just traveled through our 50 golf courses and have a great time here. We have lots of other things to do. Whatever you're interested in, we have some kind of club or something. that would you would appreciate doing. We have also started our Christmas facilities here with the trees in three of our different places. They're not quite as big as what was described before, but we have dancing and music every night, and all that's free. So if you ever come to the Villages, look me up. I'll be glad to take you to lunch and give you a grand tour.
Oh, Mitch. This is fantastic, Chuck. You know, I guess my only concern is that I wasn't able to get into the golf club cart business a long time ago. Looks like someone has got a hell of a business going there. Okay, Chuck.
Well, there's more than one. There's probably about 200 golf cart places to buy, get them fixed. We have people that come to your house and do maintenance right at your house. If it's too extensive, they'll give you a golf cart, the loaner, and they take it back and get it fixed. But you're right. We didn't get on the ground floor for golf carts.
Okay, Chuck. Hey, thanks for that report. Now let's move up.
No problem.
Let's move up to Roaring Gap, North Carolina, and Steve Thompson, way up there in the mountains, in the Blue Ridge Mountains. We wondered about moonshining up there, Steve.
Well, I tell you, Jan, it is more than likely that the Christmas trees that you are referring to came from right around us. We cut and ship over 80,000 Christmas trees every year. And it's just an absolutely beautiful day today. The temperature is up almost to 70 degrees, beautiful sunny skies. And talking about golf courses, we've got the best golf course in the country right in my backyard. Come up to see us.
Oh, thanks very much, Steve. Now let's move out west to the Centennial State, where, believe it or not, my grandson is out there. He's a graduate of college, and he can't find a job. But he's out there in Centennial State near Denver, I think it is. And Bill, my goodness, Bill Joseph in Grand Junction, how you doing?
Fine, Jim. Good evening, everyone. Our temperature here is in the 50s for the high, and we're about 30 in the evening for the low. We need moisture very, very bad, not only to get our reservoirs back up to the proper level, but also to get some snow on the ground. We're looking forward to the ski season starting real soon. Back to you, Jim.
Okay, thanks very much, Bill. You know, I'm Jim Hart. I'm coming to you from West Palm Beach, Florida, where the weather right now is about a 74-degree bright moonlight at this time of day. Many of us and our listeners, too, have no idea of the training a pilot goes through to be able to be the pilot in command of a modern-day airliner. Tonight, we'll try to acquaint you with the initial certification steps he or she must accomplish before they can earn the title captain. Before we go into our program tonight, we want to introduce you to a new sponsor for tonight's show. Here it is.
St. John Realty Group's Property Management Division is pleased to be a new sponsor of the EAL Radio Show. We hope to be with you each week for these exciting and informative radio broadcasts. We're a Florida-licensed, full-service real estate company, with property management being one of our many specialties. Since it's important to choose a firm that understands your goals and puts your interests first, we invite you to give us a try. Our energetic and forward-thinking property managers will protect and enhance value in your assets while meeting the day-to-day needs of your tenants. We can be reached at area code 904-217-7150. Let me repeat that again. 904-217-7150. You may also reach us through our website at www.stjohnspm.com. Let me spell that for you, www.stjohnspm.com. And while you're there, be sure to browse through our web pages. We feel confident that you will find us to be an established, reputable team of dedicated individuals with the sole purpose of providing the highest quality property management services in the industry.
Yesterday, Steve completed the oral phase of his FAA check ride with a rating on the Boeing 757-767 aircraft. Eastern flies only the Boeing 757 and not the 767. However, since the two aircraft share similar systems, instrumentation, and automatic system features, the pilot receives a dual rating on both aircraft listed on his certificate. If you walked onto the flight deck of either aircraft without being told, you would not immediately be able to tell the difference. Candidate Steve arrives in the classroom just off the simulator bay of the 757. Captain Chuck will brief Steve on how the flight phase of the check ride will be conducted. Mr. John Hand, the FAA air carrier inspector, will monitor the rating check ride from the observer's seat and will arrive just prior to the actual simulator period. Let's listen in as Captain Chuck gives the briefing.
Steve, we can talk about anything that you may be concerned about without the FAA's presence. I'm going to go over everything we need to do this morning and the sequence that they will be performed.
Okay, Chuck. I've got a question. Will we be doing any air work during the rating ride?
Yes, you will be given steep turns, approach to stalls, and takeoff and landing configurations. Let's go over the script for today's flight. First, I will be your first officer. You can ask me to give you any assistance you need. If you're flying the aircraft and an emergency comes up and you want me to fly the airplane while you tend to the emergency, just tell me to take the controls. After we climb up to 15,000 feet and do the air work, I will ask you to program a direct course to MCO into the FMC. I will give you a heading to the VOR en route. We will go through several operational problems and emergencies. Remember, I'm your co-pilot, so use me as you would in the actual event. We'll be vectored for an ILS runway 18 and set up for a Cat 3 approach. We'll take it to a full stop landing and then taxi back for a takeoff with an engine failure on V1. We'll do another takeoff and an engine failure on V2. We'll make a full stop landing on both these exercises. Steve, now, how about labeling the profile I've drawn on the whiteboard?
Steve labels all the flap settings and speeds at various positions in the airport traffic pattern.
Okay, I know you'll do just fine. Let's go out and find John Hand.
Hello, my name is Captain Jerry Frost. I am a retired Eastern Airlines pilot. On behalf of the Retired Eastern Pilots Association, better known as REPA, I'm happy to say that we are a sponsor of the EAL Radio Show's website and weekly radio broadcast. Our organization was founded in 1971 by two retired captains, Captain Lou Transu and Captain E.M. Taylor. We have always had wonderful support from the affiliate members who have joined REPA. They take part in our annual conventions and receive our great magazine, Repartee. The word repartee is defined as having a quick and witty reply, hence the tie-in with REPA. If you have read any of our magazines, you'll really understand why the name was chosen. Over the past 80 years or more of Eastern Airlines, many great stories have been told by Eastern pilots on the pages of Repartee. By joining REPA as an affiliate member, you will receive a disc containing copies of 35 years of these publications, plus the biannual publication of Repartee. You will also be welcome to attend our annual conventions, the next being held in Hilton Head, South Carolina, in November. The cost is only $35 annually for membership. You can go to the document page of the EAL Radio Show website and print the application for membership. We're happy to support the work of the radio show and its website and wish it continued success. Oh, by the way, take a look at the REFA website where you will also see the EAL Radio Show's radio play icon on the homepage. Enjoy listening to the show live from our site or return and listen to the archive shows. You'll find many interesting Eastern features by going to www.repaonline.com. This is Jerry Frost. Thanks for listening.
The briefing is over, and the three men enter the Boeing 757 simulator, which is a replica of the real aircraft's flight deck. Only a situation panel has been added behind and on both sides of the observer's jump seat. The FAA inspector has been given the situations that Steve will have to respond to and will enter them into the situation panel's computer. Nearly any aircraft situation on the ground or in the air can be programmed into the computer, and many have been entered awaiting the command of the check captain.
I see that we're parked here at the terminal building, and before we push away from the gate, Chuck, you'll need to get us a clearance from clearance delivery. And how about getting the latest ATIS so that we can program the FMC?
Sure, Captain. Would you like me to program the FMC? I have already entered our performance data, just waiting for clearance and runway assignment to be entered.
Yes, sir, and I think we need to go read the before engine starting checklist now when you're ready.
The first officer has the clearance to Orlando with an altitude of flight level 290 and has set the flight plan into the FMC. He is now ready to read the checklist.
Okay, oxygen.
Okay, that's on 100 speakers checked here.
Fuel quantity.
Let's see here. We got 29,000 pounds, 27,000 pounds.
Seatbelt, no smoking.
And that's on.
FMS and flight instruments.
Got set and checked.
Park brake, pressure.
Set and checked.
Rudder, aileron trim.
And that's set.
Down to the line, Captain.
Okay, let me check below and see if we're ready to push. And I see all the door lights are out. And let's go below the line, Chuck.
Shoulder harness.
It's on.
Fuel quantity recheck.
It's still 27,000 pounds.
Panel.
Set for start. Okay, we're going to start the right engine now. And, Chuck, how about watching out for any abnormalities and let me know if you see any irregularities.
Okay, Captain. I see N1, N2 rotation. Hey, looks like the EGT is coming up fast.
Okay, I think we've got a hot start here. I'm going to shut it down. I'm going to put the fuel control switches to cutoff. Chuck, get the aircraft manual and let's read the abnormal procedures checklist for an aborted engine start. And you need to give maintenance a call and ask them to come out to the aircraft.
Steve and Chuck read and review the abnormals, and Chuck is now telling Steve that he carried out the correct procedures and that that problem was over. Steve goes through the next starts without incident. As Steve taxis out to the runway for departure, an alarm is heard, followed by an amber fault light appearing on the APU control panel and a message on the FMC reading, APU fire.
Hey, Chuck, we've got an APU fire here. I'm going to pull and rotate to stop and hold it for a second to make sure that the bottle discharge. Chuck, you'll need to get out the abnormal checklist for an APU fire.
Very good, Steve. Okay, let's go flying. We're going to depart on runway 27R. When you have everything set for clearance to Orlando, I'll be Miami Tower and give you the takeoff clearance.
Steve taxis out onto the runway and instructs Chuck to call out the speeds and to call out any abnormalities. The autopilot is not permitted during the takeoff phase of the flight until above 1,000 feet above ground level. Steve slowly advances the throttles to the takeoff settings, and the auto throttles have been armed and advanced toward the correct inputs according to the selected settings.
100 knots, V1, VR, V2.
Okay, positive rate, gear up, please.
Captain, no EGT on right engine. We've got a flame out on the right engine.
Okay, Chuck, I feel it. Do the abnormals for engine failure in the manual. Now, I'm going to fly the airplane. You call the tower and tell them we've lost an engine and we're coming back for a landing.
Okay, Steve, I'll give you back the dead engine. Let's continue on our climb on this heading. I'll do the climb checklist. Climb up and maintain 15,000 feet. When you reach 15,000, heading 360, set the airspeed bug at 290 knots. Use the autopilots and auto throttles until you get it stabilized at altitude, heading, and speed. Once you're ready, punch the autopilot and auto throttle commands to off and manually fly the aircraft. Let me know that you're ready, and I want you to do a 360-degree, 45-degree bank turn to the left, roll out on a 360-degree, and do one to the right. Okay?
Okay. Here we go. Here we're going to do one, first one to the left. Okay, I'm back, and now we're going to do one back to the right.
Very good, Steve. It looked like the parameters were locked in, motion freeze. You did that so well. I'm satisfied.
I'm sure Steve appreciates a kind word or two from the FAA, but let's wait until we finish the check ride.
Steve, let's set the aircraft up in landing configuration now for an approach to a landing stall. Autopilot and auto throttles are off.
Okay. I'm going to slow the airplane to 230 knots and then give me 1 degree of flaps. Okay. Now at 220 knots, give me another notch of flaps and lower the landing gear. And then give me full landing flaps. Okay, I'm going to start slowing the airplane in a shallow turn to the left and add back pressure on the column control, and we get the stick shaker. Okay, there's the stick shaker. Give me takeoff power. And I'm going to stop the turn and apply pressure on the control column to stop any loss of altitude. And there's a positive rate, gear up, and flaps 15. Now, Chuck, would you like me to leave the flaps at 15 or clean it up?
That's the end of the air work, Steve. Proceed direct to Orlando, and I'll be your air traffic controller.
Well, the check ride proceeds to Orlando. Let's have a word from one of our sponsors, Flight Attendant Training Academy.
Well, we're going to substitute that ad tonight, and we're going to give you one from Eastern Airlines.
It's Sunday in Mexico. Sun floods an arena. A historic duel is on. The sun spotlights a diver at Acapulco. referee the children's game at the pyramids of Teotihuacan. The sun warms a beautiful mermaid in Puerto Rico and covers the vacation paradise of Miami. Every year, more people choose this one to the sun because Eastern Surface is as warm as the destination.
The check ride is now in the airspace of Orlando Approach Control. The weather has been last reported by ATIS, Automatic Terminal Information Service, as ceiling overcast with reported tops at 3,000 feet, and the visibility has been given as RVR at 400 feet, which would require the pilot to make an auto land with Land 3 functioning. This means that the flight crew is required to depend on the auto land system to make the approach and land the aircraft fully automatic, even to bringing the aircraft to a full stop on the runway using the auto brake system. The alert height is 50 feet, and there is no decision height requirement. Three autopilots and the auto throttles are required. If Land 3 capability is lost prior to the alert height and Land 2 is enunciated, the approach may be continued with a 50-foot decision height. If the runway environment is in sight at the 50-foot decision height, then the landing may be completed. However, if the environment is not in sight at the decision height, a missed approach will be executed.
Chuck, let's go through the descent and in-range checklist, please, sir.
It's complete, Captain. I'm flying the aircraft if you would like to go through the approach briefing.
Okay, Chuck, and you've got the airplane. I'll go through the briefing. Now, we're going to be making an ILS to runway 35 left, Category 3B at the Orlando International Airport. Now, the ILS inbound course is 005 degrees, and the initial approach fix is NAGI, which is the 16.5 DDO miles radar fix. And then the initial approach altitude is 5,000 feet, and the inbound altitudes are 4,000 feet at 13.9 miles, 3,000 feet at 10.8 miles, and 1,600 feet is 6.3 miles, and 290 feet is at the middle marker and 189 feet at the inner marker. Now, since the RVR is below 700 feet, the alert height is 50 feet. If we lose Land 3, now, then our decision height is 50 feet. In the event of a missed approach, we climb to 3,000 feet on the heading of 005 degrees and the Orlando VOR radial of 049 degrees to the Oviedo intersection on the Orlando 13 DME fix, and then we hold there as publish. And the runway is 10,000 feet long, and the ILS DME is 10.5, and the inbound course is 005 degrees. Chuck, how about you setting all these frequencies when we get the final vector for the approach? All right, Chuck, I've got the airplane, and you can review the approach.
Eastern, descend to and maintain 5,000 feet. Turn to a heading of 330 degrees to intercept the localizer. Runway 35 left. You are cleared for approach. Report turning inbound on the localizer course. I will acknowledge all clearance. You focus on the approach.
Okay, Chuck, I've got it, and would you give me one notch of flaps, please? Okay, now I'm selecting the approach mode. The auto throttles are engaged, the speed command select, and I see glide slope light amber, localizer light amber, and the VNAV path selected. LNAV is also selected. Orlando approach, Eastern has captured the localizer and turning inbound. Okay, now I have a localizer light green and the auto land system has captured the glide slope. And the glide slope light is green. The go-around is armed, and okay, we're at the final approach fix. Gear down and landing flaps, please, sir. Okay, I see three green lights, and the land 3 ASA is green, and the rudder control is engaged. All right, now we're below 1,500 feet, and I see the flare amber light and the rollout amber light in the annunciator. Okay, we're 500 feet, and we're getting the runway aligned sensing. Okay, now we're at 330 feet. And radio altitude, and we have auto nose up trim starting. Okay, now we're 200 feet. No land 3 enunciation is inhibited. And the electrical system auto power transfer is inhibited. Okay, 65 feet, all lights green, and flare and rollout on the localizer. Okay, 5 feet radio altimeter, and the auto throttles are coming back to idle. Flare is initiated. Touchdown. And the rollout is captured, and the aircraft auto braking is being applied. And I see a centerline light. And there's another centerline light. And now the airplane is completely stopped.
Oh, I forgot to clear you on to land. Just kidding. Great job, Steve. Or I should say, great job, Autoland System.
I'm satisfied, Chuck, if you are. You can put it in the straps anytime you like. Great job, Steve.
The check ride is over, and the only thing left is for John Hand to write out the temporary airline transport pilot certificate with an additional rating of Boeing 757 and 767. We've got one happy new Eastern captain, and he has invited everyone over to the Traveler's Poolside Bar for a round on him.
So, can I freshen up your beer for you guys?
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
Okay.
Hi, thank you very much. Thank you.
Steve, we knew you would do very well. Mr. Hand told us you did a picture-perfect check ride. Chuck seems to think so, too.
And Mr. Hand, or if you don't mind, I'd like to call you John. Are you still staying here in Miami? I recollect you said something about you being a loner from Atlanta. Now, loner as in temporarily assigned to Miami? And I'm sure I heard you say that you are an eligible bachelor, too. And do let me emphasize that word, eligible.
I can't deny anything you said, Luann. However, I got word that they want me to do some airman checks at Delta back in Atlanta. So I've checked out of the hotel, and I'll be going to the airport for my flight back to Atlanta. I'm sorry, sweetheart.
Isn't that a coincidence? Luann and I are also going back to Atlanta today. We've got a trip tomorrow. What time is your flight today, John?
It's at 4 p.m. this afternoon on flight 688.
Well, what a coincidence. That's when Jan and I are taking back to Atlanta, John. Maybe I can use my influence on the senior to let us sit together. There's just ever so much I need to know about you.
And that's our skit for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Your cast, Captain Chuck was Chuck Albright, Steve was Steve Thompson, Mr. John Hand was played by Jim Hart, Jan was Jan Bushkaye, Luann was Margaret Bars, and your narrator was Bill Joseph.
Hey, Neil.
Hello there, Whitey. Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can hear you.
Okay.
I was falling asleep waiting for your call.
Okay. Captain Whitey Johnson, and he's an Eastern captain and flight instructor and a company FAA designee. And Whitey has agreed to be our guest tonight, and how appropriate it is to have Captain John with us, especially to complete the phase two of our Checking Out the Eastern Captain series. Whitey, I hope you will allow me to use your first name since we've been friends for over 25 years now. How are you?
Fine. I have a little sore throat here, so if I sound funny, that's what it is.
Well, Whitey, you gave me my type rating check ride on the Boeing 757 back around 1984, the best I can remember. It was one of the best check rides, in my opinion, I ever received. You really put me at ease, and I understand from others you had a knack for doing this, getting folks to settle down before a check ride.
Yeah, I think that was the secret to my getting along with people, and it was just a nice way of doing it, and in the end, we all won, you know, so that was really great.
Hi, Whitey. This is Steve Thompson. Yeah, it's been a long time since we have seen each other or I've heard from you. It's great to hear you now. I think you and I worked in the training department about the same time. And you were with Colonial, as I remember. Is that correct?
Yeah, I started in November of 51 with Colonial. And then following the merger in 1955, they made me part of the management team by Captain John O'Neill. And that was back in May of 1966. And it was just a real pleasure working for him. And I just loved to get along with people. And I think that's what helped make everybody do a good job for us. So that's about it.
Chuck? Captain John, this is Chuck Albright. It was great playing your role in this series. It must have been a lot of fun working with the pilots, helping them get through their license and ratings. How many different aircraft did you instruct in?
Well, let me see. I got to go back to my memory bank. There was the Saki Constellation series, and then we had the Electra, DL-188, and then we had the DC-6. The 7, the 8, and the 9, the Martin 202, and the 404, and we had the Boeing 707, 720, and 727, and finally the 757. It was just a great career.
Hello, Captain John. This is Luann Wiggins, Senior Flight Attendant. I remember flying a trip with you and how sweet you was back then, and I'm sure you still are today. Where you been keeping yourself these days?
Well, I'm hibernating up in the Poconos. We sold our hangar home at Spruce Creek about 4 years ago, and we moved up here. We've had this place on Lake Wallenpaupack since 1978. So we got everything modernized and got the house all insulated and redone all over, new windows and doors. So then we just sit back and relax and enjoy looking out in the water and watching the boats go by during the summer and watching the ice in the winter.
Captain John, it certainly sounds like you're having a wonderful, relaxing vacation time these days. My name is Jan Butch-Kai. Your fame also has something to do with being one of the first captains to receive a rating in the Boeing 757. Can you comment on that, please?
Yeah, I was lucky enough to be sent out to Seattle with one of our other first pilots.
Wasn't that Whitey, if Steve Thompson, wasn't that the chief pilot from Washington that you went with?
Well, Tom Butchen came
Tom Butchen.
Over. Yeah, he was a VP of flight operations, and he managed to become the number one to get certified with certificate for the 757. And he came out to Boeing in Seattle for the initial training program, and that's one of the beneficiaries of having seniority on everybody. So that's what we did. He got his number one rating, let's see, I'm trying to get my ducks in a row here. My whole career was spent as a check airman until I retired in January of 1984. And I happened to give my first type rating exam to none other than Neil Holland, would you believe? Whom you all know, of course, on our favorite 757. And also, I was approved to line check on any Eastern crew in our system. And as I've always said, I was getting paid for a hobby and not a job. I would have done it for nothing, but that's a great goal for anyone to have as a career.
You know, Whitey, remembering back in those days when I took my check ride with you, I did not know you at the time, and Tom Weir was my instructor, Captain Tom Weir, and I believe he later became also a designee, FAA designee.
Yeah,
and Tom gave me my instruction, and I don't know whether he built you up to fear or to, I always thought that anybody who's giving me a check ride, I feared that person, but you put me to ease right away, and you had a talent at that, and there's a couple of guys that I had, check airmen, that did the same, but you did a great job. I got my rating on the first ride, but we wanted to do this series, Whitey, to show what an Eastern captain, not just an Eastern captain, but a captain for any airline today, what they have to go through, the education that they have to be accountable for anything in the flight manual of that airplane. And as we all know that fly transport airplanes, those flight manuals are bigger than two Manhattan phone directories.
Yeah.
And also just the fact that the captain, we were talking before the showtime tonight, a captain getting his rating for the first time, if it's on a three-man crew, meaning that there's an engineer, the captain also has to know the engineer panel and all the duties of the flight engineer as well.
By the way, this is Steve again. There was a couple of ironies here. John Hand gave me my Electra rating ride in the airplane, and also with tonight's type rating, I now have 15 aircraft type ratings. And John, I don't think I'll ever catch you.
Yeah,
Whitey?
Well, it's really, really a thrill for me to talk to you guys. I honestly mean that.
Hey, Whitey, why don't you do something? Why don't you sign a certificate? Do you have any of those certificate coupons still available you can send Steve a rating in the 7576?
No, I have some old ones here. I was looking through my Eastern file, my career file here, and I had all these temporary airman certificates as I, you know, progressed from one piece of equipment to another. And it just brings back such wonderful memories that I wish every pilot in the world would have such a nice feeling about the job that they had. I've always said it wasn't a job, it was a hobby.
Yeah.
So,
why do we have a caller on the line right now? Caller from area code 770. Who do we have here tonight?
Neil, Bob Furman.
Hey, Bob Furman, how you doing?
Really good. You know, I was
that
listening.
Sounds like a familiar name.
Well, yeah, it's real familiar, Whitey. I was listening to you say that you started in November 1951.
Yeah.
With Eastern.
No, that was with Colonial.
Well, with Colonial. Well, my wife is a flight attendant with Eastern, and she was born in November of 1951. So you can kind of say she got started then, too.
Yeah. Sometimes it's a small world, isn't it?
Yeah, I remember your name. I didn't ever have the good fortune of meeting you, sir, but I remember a lot of good accolades about you.
Well, I tell you, I couldn't have asked for a better job, a better airline, and the most wonderful people I have ever met in all my life.
Yes, sir.
It was great.
Yeah.
Now, you're up in New York. Have you ever been over to old Rheinbach Airport out there near Newburgh and watched them fly those all-time airplanes?
Let's see. That's where the big Stewart Field is there, isn't it?
Well, Stewart's at Newburgh, but right up the road in Rheinbach, New York, is the Rheinbach Airfield.
Oh, yeah. With all the antique airplanes.
Yeah,
and
it's just like Eddie Rickenbacker and walking into World War
One. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Hey, Neil?
Yes, sir.
Brenda wanted to say hi to you. Is it okay?
Hi, Brenda.
Here she is.
Hey, this is Brenda Furman. I started with Eastern in 1976, so you guys were well on your way by then. And I was listening to Whitey, and he was talking about that he helped certify the 757, one of my favorite airplanes there, you know. And after Eastern, I went ahead and got hired with Delta. And now I'm on my last legs there, but I'm still flying there. And I just came in from a trip on a 757 tonight. And every time I'm on a 757, I think of our first Eastern airplanes, you know. And just so you know, the people that I continue to meet at Delta, I say, yeah, but I really started at Eastern, I say it, with every crew, you know, just because it's sort of my roots and where I come from. And you can't believe the number of people that I've run in through the years who say, yeah, you know, I tried to get hired with Eastern, but they didn't hire me. anyway, there's just a lot of respect. Still yet to this day with the real senior people at Delta, a major respect for all the Eastern people.
Brenda, one thing. You are an instructor or supervisor of flight attendants over at Delta, are you not?
Well, actually, I did the supervisor thing for a short time because when I came, Bob was on reserve somewhere else, and I had to be home, so I ended up going in the office for a short time. But then for 13 years after that, I was a regulatory compliance manager for Delta in-flight service. And I wrote all the training and policies and procedures. And but anyway, a lot of the stuff that I saw when I walked into Delta was like, whoa. They don't have a clue what it is to have to look at the safety aspect of, I mean, everything was very loose at Delta compared to Eastern. Eastern, we had it together. And anyway, we made changes through the years anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I was there 13 years in regulatory compliance, so we made some changes thanks to my Eastern training, okay?
There you go.
There you have it.
Well. Very good. Thanks so much.
The alma mater.
Neil, This is Steve. Whitey, I went to a New York base in 57, and I flew for 2 years the back nine and the Martin 404, and I think I learned to fly there, especially in the wintertime. And you know above all what that's like. And I can't, I just can't, I can see those airports now, and they were under probably a foot of snow every runway that we landed on. And it, yeah, it was a real, real learning experience that I think every pilot. I did it in a 404, but to do this in a DC-3, that is really learning to fly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can remember specifically one flight into Rutland where we landed in about, it must have been about at least a foot of snow, and they came out with a truck to deplane and put some people on, and we took off right from that that particular spot and went back to, I think we were going to Burlington or something like that. But it it's just such wonderful memories to think back of all these great experiences that we've had, and above all, the people. That Easton family was one that I will never forget, ever.
Yeah.
And that merger, too, was so compatible. Now, we always wanted to maintain our identities, and you folks with Colonial did also, but it was a very compatible merger with the two companies.
It's a tough thing for, you know, somebody always feels like they're on the losing end of the stick. But, like, for me, I just felt blessed that we still had a job, and we were going to fly new equipment that we never even dreamed of before. So all in all, it just couldn't have been nicer.
Yeah, I have a good friend, your friend also, Al Brelaud, but there were many guys that I flew with and knew. You want to mention a few of them that came over? Just a few of them, I think. Who's still here today, Whitey?
Yeah. Well, I used to host, when we were at Spruce Creek, I had a hangar home, and we would invite all the Colonial guys who were with us over the years. And we did that for about 5 or 6 years before, I guess we were just getting a little too old to travel from all over the country. But we had people coming from out Midwest, and it was just super, really great.
Yeah. Well, we're getting time consumed right now, so Whitey, I want to say thank you very much for this interview and being with us tonight, and we hope we can call you again in the future from time to time for some of the more memories that you might be able to.
I love every minute of it.
Okay, very good. And we'll do our little announcements right now. We have a few announcements to make before we sign off our show tonight. Jan, I think you've got one. A couple of notes from the Keeping in Touch, the EARA newspaper.
Yes, I do, Neil. Notes from both Keeping in Touch, from the Keeping in Touch, which is the EARA newspaper. In Pittsburgh, EARA chapter is having a Christmas party December 14th, and that's 1-4. From 6 p.m. until 11 p.m. at the Holiday Inn Pittsburgh Airport. The cost is $30 per person, and the buffet is ready at 7 p.m. So it starts at 6, but the buffet is ready at 7. Sure sounds like a lot of fun for Eastern people and friends, networking between 6 and 7. You must have your check made out to Tony Ficarri, F-I-C-A-R-R-I, Tony's address to mail your check is 42 Ewing, E-W-I-N-G, Road, McKees Rock, M-C, capital K-E-E-S, Rocks, P-A, 15136. And he can be reached at 412-771-3429. For those of you who weren't able to catch his address as I was reading it, the phone number, Tony's phone number is 412-771-3429. Jim, we have an annual Christmas luncheon coming up soon in West Palm Beach. Could you tell us a little bit about it, please?
Sure, Jan. Thank you very much. December 8th, this coming Saturday at 12 noon, we have a lunch at the Atlantis Country Club in Lantana, Florida. We've done this for a number of years now. The cost this year is $30 per person, and wait until you hear the menu. The entree is choice prime rib of beef, broiled salmon, or chicken Florentine. You need to specify your choice of entree when you send your check, made payable to Beverly Newland, 9490 Richmond Circle, Boca Raton, Florida, 33434. You've got to make plans as soon as possible by calling Sue Dalbo at 561-585-1068. Margaret, how about the Christmas dinner held by the Orlando EARA chapter?
Well, be sure to mark your calendar for December 9th from 5 p.m. until 8 p.m. Hors d'oeuvres begin at 5 p.m. with a cash bar available. Dinner is at Victoria's Oyster Bar and Grill, located at 300 Dog Track Road in Longwood, Florida. And listen to what you get for only $18 per person. The entree is mahi-mahi, blackened or grilled, New York strip steak, prime ribs, smothered chicken with grilled onion, mushroom, and provolone cheese, chicken Alfredo, chicken Marsala mushroom, sautéed in butter and Marsala wine. And your dinner also includes salad, bread, coffee or tea, soft drink, and dessert. I don't know about you, host, but I'm starving right now. A private room has been reserved for this special occasion. And since checks are due in today, it's best to go ahead and call Tom Borgo at area code 407-732-4725. Or call Esther Eli at 407-677-0824. And what a prize for so much. You know, the real icing on the cake is just the joy of getting together with your Eastern friends.
Isn't that the truth, Lynn? A quick reminder for those in the Tampa area, their annual Christmas luncheon is this Wednesday, December 5th, from 11:30 a.m. until 3:30 p.m. The cost is $16 for members and $20 for non-members. It's being held at the Hollywood venue, which is located at 9210 Anderson Road, Tampa, Florida, 33634. Contact for any information you might have is Rick Nardelli, N-A-R-D-E-L-L-I. Rick's telephone number is 813-932-0330, 813-932-0330. There will be a cash bar and door prizes at 50-50.
Also, we'd like to send out a big congratulations to Gene and Bill Oberlander on their 60th wedding anniversary, and also Sally and Leon Glaze, because it's their 60th wedding anniversary as well.
All that from Keeping in Touch, EARA's newspaper, comes out every month. And we try to bring you some of the highlights of that newspaper. Any more announcements from our host?
Just the one, Neil, that I have, which is sort of a funny. Do we have time for it?
Oh, sure, Jim. Go ahead, but keep it clean.
You know, after I retired, My wife insisted that I accompany her on her trips to the Target store. Unfortunately, like most men, I found shopping boring and preferred to get in and out just as quickly as I could. Equally unfortunate, my wife is like most women. She loves to browse. And yesterday, my dear wife received the following letter from Target. Dear Mrs. Harris, over the past 6 months, your husband has caused quite a commotion in our store, and we cannot tolerate this behavior, and we have been forced to ban both of you from the store. Our complaints against your husband, Mr. Harris, are listed below, and they're documented by our video and surveillance cameras. Number one, on June 15th, he took 24 boxes of condoms, and he randomly puts them in other people's carts when they weren't looking. On July 2, he set all the alarm clocks in the housewares department to go off at 5-minute intervals. On July 17, he made a trail of, on July 19, he walked up to an employee and told her an official voice, code 3 in housewares, get to it right away. This caused the employee to leave her assigned station and receive a reprimand from her supervisor that turned into a resulted union in grievance, which caused the management to lose time and costing the money mummery. We don't have a code 3. On August 4, went to the service desk, and he tried to put a bag of M&Ms on layaway. On August 14, he moved a caution wet floor sign to a carpeted area. On August 15, he set up a tent in the camping department, and he told the children, shoppers, he'd invite them to, if they would bring pillows and blankets from the bedding department, to which 20 children did just that. On August 23, when a clerk asked if they could help him, he began crying and screaming, why can't you people just leave me alone? And the EMTs were called. On September 4, look right into the security camera. And while he was looking at the security camera, he used it as a mirror while he was picking his nose.
Oh, my goodness.
In September 12, while gambling huntings in the department, he asked the clerk, where are your antidepressants? On October 3, he darted around the store suspiciously while loudly humming the Mission to Impossible theme. On October 6, in the auto department, he practiced his Madonna look by using different sizes of funnels they had there. On October 18, he hid in a clothing rack, and when people browsed through the rack, he yelled, pick me, pick me. On October 22, when an announcement came over the loudspeaker, he assumed a fetal position, and he screamed, oh, no, it's those voices again. In October 15, he took a box of condoms into the checkout clerk, and he asked where the fitting room was. And last but not least, on October 23rd, he went into a fitting room. He shut the door, and while he waited just a little bit of while, and he yelled loudly, hey, where's the toilet paper in here? And one of the clerks passed out. This should be part of your wonderful Christmas.
Oh, goodness.
One of your wonderful Christmas party, okay?
Well, the next time my wife and I go shopping, I think I'll try to pick out a few of these, not all of them. Jim, I hear the music in the background indicating we're about out of time.
All right. Well, I tell you.
The other 92 episodes, and remember, you can listen to any of the archive shows at your convenience. Jim?
Yeah. Yes, Neil, I hear the music in the background also. and we're about out of time, so how about taxing this show into an archive hangar? And that's what I'm going to do. That's our show for tonight, folks. Tune in to www.ealradioshow.com or www.blogtalkradio.com /Captain Eddie. Would like to be in your home every Monday evening, same time, same station, with EAL Radio Show. Next week, we hope you once again fly Eastern with the EAL Radio Gang as we bring you more Eastern news, history, and talk with former Eastern employees and friends of Eastern Airlines. Be sure to tune in next week as we have two stories from pilots, air traffic controllers, and even NORAD giving their descriptions about encounters with UFOs. Hey, get that, UFOs. Call in at 7 p.m. when flight number 94 departs the gate. Until then, we'll see you on board next week. And from our host, all the gang tonight, we say good night, Eastern family.
Good night, Eastern family.
Good night, everybody.
And good night, Don.
And good night, Luann, wherever you might be.
Good night, Jim.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye, Whitey.
Okay, hey, that was super. Great. I wish I was 50 years younger. I would go to every function that you were advertising tonight.
Okay, yeah. Whitey. Listen, I'll talk to you very soon here, okay?
Okay, Neil. Take care, and
God
bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.